I said, are you ready?
Can we get Dustin to shut the hell up now?
It might have been the greatest sporting moment as a fan in my life.
Usually, I think it goes without saying, the best crowd of the year.
Joseph, you son of a bitch. I don't know what his play calling was in the last. Oh, that was terrible.
As far as, you know, neutral fans, you guys, watching that game, was it as enjoyable as, you know, like, what was, like, was it a great game to watch?
I liked it. I actually liked it, man. I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan, but I thought it was interesting. It was entertaining.
Of being able to maintain a high level of play up until 38, 39, 40 years old. But they pay the price when they hit the wall.
You think Melo goes to Cleveland?
Oh, please. Are we still talking about this? Are you serious?
I will say that this weekend we witnessed the GOAT.
You're goddamn right, Bill Belichick.
You witnessed the GOAT. It's Bill Belichick, not Brady.
Most epic comeback in history, or is this the most epic collapse in history? Or is Tom Brady just that goddamn lucky?
For greatest of all time, at an individual position, individual stats weigh more to me than a team accolade.
The point has always been it's the combination of the stats and the championship that make it the best.
When you find that magical algorithm, Joe, and you can print it on a piece of paper and then send it out to the world, we'll worry about it. But everybody's going to hold different things at different values.
Like Steve Carell looked creepy with a mustache. I didn't care for that. I found two pictures of me that show that I'm better looking than Tom Brady.
Okay, all right.
Fuck you, Chris.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, baby. That's always been my favorite part. Yeah, I just don't have anything new yet. We are going to eventually...
Well, get it together.
That music, but I don't know. No, where is Mr. Leitner anyway?
Oh, Rip Van Leitner. He's probably drinking his coffee, trying to wake up.
Well, I'm drinking coffee.
Or he's dead. What the hell is he, man?
Whoa, I don't know. That's a bit. Wow. But we got a jam-packed show today. Only doing an hour and a half, the best hour and a half of sports talk you're gonna find. I've been diligently trying to get us on FM, trying to do some stuff. I got some strings I'm pulling here, so we'll see what happens. But jam-packed show here today so far. We've got some headlines coming up in a few minutes. We have the
What is that?
Well, you'll see. And then we got U.S. won the World Baseball Classic last night. You got LeBron James, LeVar Ball. It's personal now. And my question for you would be, will Lonzo end up being the top pick? And we'll get into that. Don't say yes or no yet. We'll get into that. And then there's new NFL celebration rule that they're making.
I saw that.
Plus, which is ridiculous. That could technically count as a grind like you if you wanted it to. And then you've got T.O. Should T.O. be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes or no? Are you asking me?
That's what I'm asking you. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Here's my thing. T.O. is statistically belongs in the Hall of Fame, right? Statistically.
Yes. Isn't that what we go by?
Yeah, but he's just such a douche. Like,
who gives a shit?
Like, I mean, he's
there's been guys in there. Ty Cobb went to the Hall of Fame in baseball and he killed the guy. Come on.
Well, so did Ray Lewis. He killed a man, too. But the thing is that T.O., you know what he's doing now? He made a jacket, a cream-colored, baby shit-colored jacket like the Hall of Famers wear, okay? He made one.
Are you serious?
And he listed – well, he didn't make one. He got a jacket that was that color. He listed all of his statistics on – like all of his like accolades and statistics and all that on the back of the jersey – or on the back of the coat.
I love it.
When he wears it now, it's like a resume on his body.
Are we talking Pete Rose?
Hey, Rip Van Leitner. There he is.
Hey, what's up? Who are we talking?
T.O.
T.O., baby.
Torello.
T.O. Yeah. So, it's Hall of Fame.
I'm like, listen.
It's that woke up grandpa. There we go.
Yeah,
it did. But I was like, I agree with the fact that you should be in the Hall of Fame, but not everybody gets in first ballot. I would say that I agree with him not being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Really?
Well, not everybody gets into the first ballot Hall of Fame like you said.
That's
before.
That's what I'm saying.
He first
gets
ballot,
in,
yes.
But I don't think he's a first ballot guy.
Why not,
and
Chris?
Now he's
I don't understand.
Such a scene,
I'm stunned.
Now he's causing such a scene. I don't think he gets in at
Who
all.
Who gives a shit? Who cares?
Well, Chris.
I do.
Well, Chris, why do you think he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because I disagree a bit.
I just don't think T.O.'s on the same level as guys like Michael Irvin and
I disagree.
Randy Moss and Chris Carter. You really think
See, I
so?
Think he is. Yeah, I think
I
he
actually
is.
Think that T.O. had a better career than Chris Carter. Listen, Chris Carter, let's be honest, he wasn't that great. For years,
no.
He was okay until he got Randy Moss. He was shit, dude. He wasn't that great. T.O. had better numbers than Chris Carter.
He was an underperforming, talented wide receiver who had drug problems for many years in Philadelphia. I'll look up his stats. But then he went to Minnesota, paired up with Moss, and that certainly jump started his career. That being said, Chris Carter, come on, Pro Reference, let's go. All right,
no,
Chris Carter, real quick.
I don't understand that.
He started his career in Philadelphia, then went to Minnesota at age 25.
Yeah.
And he was good. I mean,
he wasn't great.
No, he caught 72 for 5 touchdowns in 1991, 53 catches, 86 catches. Then 1994, he exploded for 122 for 2 straight years. Then from that point on, he was excellent, 96 catches, 89, 78, 90, double-digit touchdowns for about 6 years straight. So, but those, what year did Moss come into the league?
Randy Moss came in 98.
Okay, that's a good
Pretty
call.
Sure.
You're right. That was that year. Yeah, so he was good
before
Moss.
I was born.
He was good before Moss.
God, you're old.
His two best seasons where he caught 122 passes, his best year, 95, 122 catches and 17 touchdowns for Minnesota. So he was excellent before Moss came around. No doubt Moss, you know, rejuvenated him a bit in 98 there, no question. But back to the central argument. I agree with Jeremy on this one, man. I think T.O.,
yeah.
I mean, I put him up there top five. Top 10
I agree.
All time.
I'll tell
all
you something,
time.
Though. I put this guy above any of – this is going to sound weird to come from me, but I think he was better than Lynn Swann. I think he was better than John Stallworth back in the 70s. I know, granted, it was a lot different back then. He's better than them. I think he was better than Michael Irvin. I really do.
I think he was better than Irvin, too. I mean, Irvin was probably more clutch, a better teammate.
Yes,
more
Irvin
of a
was more clutch.
Guy.
I agree.
Yeah, he was a better guy to have in your clubhouse, Michael Irvin,
right.
Without a doubt. He had a lot of leadership qualities.
I think Owens did more with less because he never had anybody with him. If you look at the teams he's been on, when he was on San Francisco, who else did they have besides
Jeff
him?
Jeff Garcia was throwing to him. Yeah.
But, I mean, didn't have any other good wide
Nobody
receivers.
Nobody else, yeah.
You want to know when he had his best
He single-handedly almost won the Super
Donovan?
Bowl for them. Who?
Besides Donovan, he had Tony Romo.
Mm.
But anyways, so
That's
we're gonna go into, but here's my thing. We'll get into T.O. in a second. Joe, I wanted to get your take on this, and we actually have a headline on it.
Last September, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown was fined over $9,000 for twerking in the end zone after scoring a touchdown against the Washington Redskins. But Brown was not alone. In 2015, 9 NFL players were penalized for prolonged or excessive celebrations or demonstrations. Despite current NFL regulations, players have continued to walk a fine line. The increase in inappropriate celebration behavior is leading the NFL to work on educational training videos that will give players examples of appropriate and inappropriate celebrations. The movement has been met with resistance by sports enthusiasts and players alike, who believe officials should not have the discretion to determine when a celebration should be penalized as excessive. Former Cowboys player Martellus Bennett compared the way NFL promotes logos to the way NBA promotes players. Bennett believes players should be allowed to express their individuality and creativity and not treated as robots. On the other hand, Troy Vincent, NFL Executive VP of Football Operations, is enthusiastic about the change. As long as the line between what is and isn't acceptable is clear, and as long as the game officials will know the difference and properly respect it. The upcoming training videos were announced Tuesday via Twitter and are an ongoing project. Players should expect an update in a couple of weeks.
So, That was Lauren McKenna, our lovely
headline
reporter.
That was fantastic, by the way.
Wasn't it?
She was
so
good.
Very informative, very informative. I told her a minute, and it was almost two, so I got to get on her about that. But regardless, it was very informative. This whole NFL
you got to be shitting
training,
me, man.
I don't get it.
Who's going to teach him this? I don't understand. Are you going to hire somebody off the street to tell me what a good and bad celebration looks like? Are you serious?
Is it even a teachable skill?
Who teaches
like,
classes on
like,
that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, who's walking around handing out their resumes when you look at it, it says professional celebration instructor? Who has that title?
Who came up with this idea? The NFL come up with this? Did they really come up with this idea?
They came up with it because what happened was the NFL is getting a lot of backlash
from what?
All sorts of different stuff. You remember when
for
Josh
end zone
Norman
celebrations?
Here's the thing. You remember when Josh Norman? Now he plays for the Redskins. Now, Norman did that. He did that bow and arrow celebration. And they were saying, that's offensive.
So what?
Yep. And then the one where they go around in a circle and they pretend like the grenade drops and they all fall.
Oh,
so that's offensive.
I like
to war
one,
fest.
Man.
We're going through PTSD.
All this
other stuff. So that's their argument as to why they just want you to catch the ball,
come in,
do a fist
pump.
That's
such a bullshit argument.
But the point is, they want you to come in.
You're telling
catch
me.
The ball,
hold on, I'm sorry. You're telling me some guy who's at a naval military hospital recovering from a deep-sea wound is going to give a shit if somebody's doing a fake grenade dance
no.
in a football game? Get the
no,
fuck out of
it's,
here.
It's the NFL
Please.
Using that as an excuse to control their
it's
players
a cop
more.
Out.
That's
it's a bullshit
it
cop out.
Absolutely, 100%. And it's disgraceful, actually, to be using veterans
yeah.
You
yeah,
know, who
they're using
him. And fight for our country as an excuse for your stupid NFL control rule. That's what it is. Listen, okay, back in the 80s, maybe, late 70s, early 80s, celebrations in football started to become a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, but the Redskins, I don't know if you guys may not recall this, but the Redskins had a really elaborate celebration going, and I forget what the name of their little group was, but it became kind of a thing, and the NFL didn't like it.
That we're talking about?
What was it?
The Hog Mollies, something like that, maybe. I think.
Well, the Hogs were the offensive line. I forget.
No,
what
I know
the
that.
Dancing,
some kind of
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was something like.
Were you thinking of like
the wide receiver?
Well, the first one started with the Dirty Bird. It started with the Dirty Bird. They didn't.
I remember that Icky Shuffle for Christ's sake. Icky Woods had that shuffle with the Bengals.
But you know, it was the group celebrations that the NFL had a problem with, and. Then they
I don't
came out
understand
with the rule
why.
That you can't have a choreographed celebration.
Give me a break.
So that sort of eliminated any kind of, two, three, four-person celebration. And now you can't even celebrate on your own. It's just garbage, man. All it is the NFL trying to control their players from doing anything that they will think is offensive, like Randy Moss pulling down his shorts,
what they're
which is not even offensive.
Well, Joe, you had to step away from the studio for a second. I asked Jeremy, who's going to teach this class? Like, who's walking around with a resume that says professional celebration instructor on it? Who?
Right.
Is this going to be Roger Goodell overlooking this class?
Yeah.
Or is this going to
be
some guy that they hire? Because,
it's
quite frankly,
be some
here's the deal.
That they hire.
Yeah, well, they're getting backlash from, like I said, with the Josh Norman bow and arrow celebration, apparently – they got backlash from the same.
Let me ask you a question.
Wait, from the
what
same
backlash?
From the same four Indians. For the same four Indians that were upset about the Redskins' name to begin with. Okay, they got backlash from them, but God forbid one person's upset. Okay,
I'd be more offended with the name of the team than the celebration. For Christ's sake.
I don't know. But then they were mad about as Lauren mentioned in the headline. They were mad about the.
Who?
The twerk
here's my question.
From Antonio
who?
Brown.
Yeah. Antonio Brown.
You tell me, if you polled fans.
Women were offended. Oh, come on.
If you polled actual fans, I guarantee
you
90% of them don't care about the celebrations, for Christ's sake.
No,
owners, this is all owners.
It's the same thing that I explained to you guys about what I'm dealing with in radio.
Well, it's stupid.
If one person is offended, boom, the cord is pulled.
So what?
The plug is pulled.
Who cares?
That's so idiocy, man. If they really cared about what you, me, and every other football fan, NFL fan thinks, maybe they'd actually put out a poll online and have us vote on it. You know, do we want a rule around celebrations or not? Or you could parse it out even more, like how much of a rule if they – like, you know, ask us. Ask us. You know what I'm saying? Ask
us. Look, you know, let's hear about – you know, we talk about all this crap about the celebration thing. How come they never say anything about, you know, when we have these domestic violence crap, when Ray Rice crocs his girlfriend? They don't say anything about that. They bury it. And they're using this celebration thing.
Do you remember Cam Newton?
That's so stupid.
You remember the Cam Newton thing?
Where Cam Newton did the dab thing?
But then he had the young fan write him the letter about how, like, he looked up to him as an icon, but then all the things that Cam Newton was doing, you know, like all the...
One young fan.
He didn't write it. He's like nine. You remember his mom wrote it? And she was saying, like, you know, all the things about the celebrations that he does are the kid is getting the wrong message. You remember that whole thing a couple of years ago? I could try to find it online.
I don't remember the woman writing the letter. I have a question.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the wrong message is. You can't celebrate after a game, after you score a touchdown.
What message is that sending? Here?
We can't score touchdowns? That we
it's
can't do a dance? I don't understand
screen,
that.
Jeremy. It's a smokescreen. Yeah. It's a smokescreen for the NFL. And Chris, who said it? The owners. Maybe it's the owners driving this agenda. Maybe the owners, the Robert Krafts, the Maras, the Rooneys.
We got to jump into because we're only doing an hour and a half here. I have another wonderfully done headline from Lauren, but real quick, it is the owners, by the way. But I just want to pull up
you're
this article
right
for
is.
You.
And they're a bunch of
Tennessee
old stiff white guys who need to loosen up.
Tennessee mom to Cam Newton. Here's what my 9-year-old saw. So Tennessee mom writes, let me X out of this here. Clearing the throat a little bit.
Clear your throat again.
Hey, we ain't got all day, McDouche.
It says, Tennessee Titans fan Rosemary Plorn of Nashville attended Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers with her fourth grader. On Monday, she sent us this note and wrote to Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. So, again, she's a Tennessee Titans fan who watched the game against Cam Newton. She says, Dear Mr. Newton, congratulations on your win in Nashville today. Our team played well, but yours played better. Kudos to the Panthers organization. That game happened to be my 9-year-old daughter's first live NFL experience. She was surprised to see so many Panthers fans sitting in our section of the stadium. That doesn't happen much at fourth-grade football games. And she was excited that we were near the end zone so we could get close to the action, particularly in the second half. Plorin goes on to write, Because of where we sat, we had a close-up view of your conduct in the fourth quarter. The chest puffs, the pelvic thrusts, the arrogant struts, and the in-your-face taunting of both the Titans players and fans. We saw it all. I refuse to believe you don't realize you are a role model. You are paid millions of dollars every week to play hard and be a leader. In the off season, you're expected to make appearances, support charities, inspire young kids to pursue your sport and all sports. With everything the NFL has gone through in recent years, I'm confident that they have advised you that you are, by virtue of your position and career choice, a role model. And because you are a role model, your behavior brought out like behavior in the stands. Some of the Panthers fans in our section began taunting my hometown fans. Many Titans fans booed you, few offering instructive but not necessarily family-friendly suggestions as to how you might change your behavior. My daughter sensed the change immediately and started asking questions. Won't he get in trouble for doing that? Is he trying to make people mad? Do you think he knows he looks like a spoiled brat? I didn't have great answers for her, and honestly, in an effect to minimize and negatize your impact, it was otherwise really fun day, I redirected her and her attention to the cheerleaders and mascot. I could tell she was still thinking about that as we boarded the shuttle back to our car. I guess he doesn't have kids or a mom at home watching the game, she added, which I highly doubt a 9-year-old said, first of all. But anyway, I don't know about your family life, Mr. Newton, but I think I'm safe saying thousands of kids watch you every week. It's amazing to have incredible talent and be on a platform as a role model. Unfortunately, when you modeled for them today was egotism, arrogance, and poor sportsmanship. Is that what your coach has modeled for you, Mr. Newton? That is the letter.
Can we end this crap right now? Do we even have to discuss this? Dude,
this is just
she's blaming Cam Newton for the fans getting riled up. How about the alcohol they probably drank halfway through the game that got them riled up? Dude, the guy, if you want to shut Cam Newton up, don't let him score a goddamn touchdown, all right?
My big thing, guys, is when she mentioned specifically the chest puff, the pelvic thrust, the arrogant struts and in-your-face taunting of both players and fans.
So
what? That's what makes it awesome. That's what makes it fun.
You know what?
When you score a touchdown on the opposing team, tell them to turn the hell around. Like when Zeke does the eat thing, I do it along with him on the TV. That's the whole point. That's what makes it fun.
She doesn't understand what it is to be being a parent is one thing. Being a professional athlete are two different goddamn things. She has no idea what it's like to be on the field, to be in that moment. And you're telling me that she thinks because a couple of pelvic thrusts are really going to affect her child's persona for the rest of her life? Get the fuck out of here. I'm so sick of this bullshit. What does she think happens at a football game? Has she ever been to a goddamn football game? People get drunk. People tailgate the games. People make fun of everybody. That's the whole point of going to the game. That's why you go watch the game. I don't worry about what my 9-year-old kid sees Cam Newton dab. Who the hell cares? That should be the 63rd thing on the mind.
She makes a case for having to apply for a national license in order to be a parent.
Yeah.
She's a terrible parent, and I feel bad for her child. For real.
I'm sorry.
What does she expect happens
when you go to a football game? Have you guys ever been to a football game, half the people in the stands either get drunk or they brawl if the game's it's a lousy game. The players are supposed to taunt the fans because that's how you get the reaction. That's the whole point of the goddamn game. I don't know what she doesn't get because her 9-year-old child. I'll tell you what. Don't bring the kids to the goddamn game. All right?
Yeah.
Don't bring the kid to the game.
My God. Don't have kids in the first place, you fucking moron.
And I think, first of all, I think 9 years old is a little too young to bring to an NFL game.
Probably,
I think 10 or 11.
Yeah.
10 or 11.
You
shouldn't be bringing 5-year-olds to an NFL football game. 10, 11, maybe.
You should take a look in the mirror about having exposed her. If she's sensitive about this crap, why do you even bring her to a football game?
You can walk down the street anywhere and see 14 times worse what she's seen. If she lives in Tennessee, she probably sees prostitutes down the street that have done worse things than
she's
Cam Newton did.
She's probably written letters to the mayor of Nashville about the prostitutes on the street. You know what it is? I'm sorry, guys, but she's a racist. That's really what it is. If that were a white guy celebrating, she probably wouldn't have written a letter. She's just a closet racist.
Is she white? Do we know if she's white?
I'll bet $150 million that she is. She's a closet racist, and she doesn't even know she's racist.
I don't understand what she expects from a game. Has she never been to a goddamn game before? This happens every single time. It's football. You want to go watch tennis and sit there where they don't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Go watch.
And I'm telling you something, by the way. Every sport celebrates victory, a touchdown, anything. Every sport does this. Guys hit home runs, they stand there and watch the ball go. Hell, tennis players, when they win, they celebrate. What the hell's the difference? Because it's
NFL? Big picture, guys, I think that this is just another indication of the NFL in decline. I really do.
I told you guys this was going down the tubes.
If they continue to be tone deaf to what the fans really want, they're going to continue to lose ratings. And this is just another example of them being tone deaf to what the fans actually want. We want to see celebrations.
Bro, it's getting kind of personal right now, but I do just want to tell you real quick that the Steelers' money offer was more money for Dante Hightower than the Patriots was, but he took less money than the Jets was too.
Who cares?
He's chasing Lombardis, not money. That's my boy.
There it is.
Speaking of family, we had more family-related issues in the news.
LeVar Ball has finally crossed the line.
Oh, boy.
The father of UCLA star Lonzo Ball appeared on a recent podcast with Chris Broussard, where he was heard speaking on how his sons have a better chance of succeeding in the NBA than the sons of All-Stars, specifically naming LeBron James. Furious with Ball's comments, James fired back at ESPN on Tuesday with strong words for LeVar. "Keep my kids' names out of your mouth. Keep my family out of your mouth," James said Tuesday. "This is dad to dad. It's a problem now." James offered this warning to Ball while at UCLA, where the Cavaliers were practicing following weekend games against the Clippers and Lakers. James has made it clear that he wants Ball to refrain from mentioning his sons in future conversations. "He can talk about his brand, talk about his sons, talk about basketball, talk about me," James said, "but keep my family out of this." Putting aside the stern warning to his dad, LeBron James could be heard saying some nice things about Ball's son, Lonzo. The standout UCLA freshman is expected to go in the first few picks during this year's draft. "I actually like his son. I like his game," James reportedly said.
So, did you guys hear the comments that LeVar Ball had said about LeBron and his kids?
Yes.
My question, I guess, would be here.
Who cares?
Who's more in the wrong? Is LeVar
wrong
for – well, okay, is LeVar more wrong for, you know, mentioning the kids of superstars and more specifically LeBron's kids? Or is LeBron more in the wrong for actually letting it get under his skin and firing back? Like, you know, who –
I don't think LeBron's letting it get under his skin. Oh, look, LeVar Ball just – I think what thing with this guy is ego. He wants to prove how good his kids are. He's got two other kids, too. He thinks he's the world's greatest father because his kids are going to be basketball stars.
He said, LeVar Ball, okay, who, by the way, at Washington State University, by the way, averaged 2 points a game. Was his average. 2 points. Okay. He came out and mentioned that he could have smoked Jordan one-on-one.
Please.
Okay, here. Let me pull up the quote for you.
I heard him quote. Michael, he thinks that his son is better than Steph Curry. He's on freaking crack, I'll tell you right now.
Well, he said that. Yeah, he said that they would get that they would be better with him than Steph. Yeah.
Well, I think part of that is being a father, and part of that is the male ego. You want your kid to listen. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. This guy wants his kid to see. This guy wants the best for his kid. You know, and I get that part, but then the other part of me is like, shut the hell up, let your kid play. His talent will prove to everybody how good he is, and quite frankly, he is very good. I don't know if he's going to be the first pick in the draft, but he'll be in the top three or four. But LeBron didn't really, like, fire back anything bad. Like, I think LeBron just, you know, took the high road. He said something about the kids.
Is Joe here?
Yes.
I wasn't sure if I unmuted him or not.
Good job. Is he there?
Joe, are you?
Hey,
Joe,
Grandpa,
are you
there? Oh, Chris, what did you do?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Guys, I'm here.
Anyways.
Oh, what the hell,
man? Oh,
I had
it
on mute by mistake.
Hey, so did you hear Lonzo Ball's father? Not only is he saying these things about his kids and all this, but he's saying that he goes, "Back in my heyday, I would kill Michael Jordan one-on-one," he told USA Today.
Right, yeah.
Did you hear that? Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
And he goes, "I would just back him in and lift him off the ground and call a foul every time he follows me when I do a jump hook to the right or the left. He cannot stop me one-on-one. He better make every shot. He can't go around me. He's not fast enough. And he can only make so many shots outside before I make every bucket underneath him." So,
Please.
So, this guy first claims he can beat Jordan. He then claims that the Golden State Warriors would be better off with his son Lonzo than they are with Steph Curry. Then he comes out and says that sons of former players like them are better suited in the NBA than sons of current stars, and the guy, I don't know.
He's a piece of work.
But I'll have some of what he's having, because he must be in an amazing state of mind right now. Like
ego,
he must be,
man.
So high in dreamland.
Listen, he's got
ego.
This
he
kid.
Averaged 2 points a game in college. Where the hell is his
yeah,
ego coming
he's,
from?
Listen, he's vicariously
ego.
Living his life through his kids. Wake up. His kids are all going to be basketball stars. He wants to be like them, and he wasn't. So now he's doing everything he can in his power to make it that way. That's all it is.
Well, let me ask Joe this, since Joe is kind of a spiteful human being. Joe.
Oh, that's not very nice.
You... No, it's not, but it is. Now, Joe. If you are a general manager or an owner of an NBA franchise, okay, and all of this is going on with Lonzo Ball and his father, and you know that now, for the most part, you're getting a package deal. You're getting Lonzo, you're getting a great player, but you're getting his father as well. Despite the talent that the NBA likes to draft on and potential and all that stuff, do you pass on Lonzo Ball?
Chris, Joe's internet went out. You just sent
okay,
me a text.
Jeremy, I'll ask you the same question for the time being.
Okay. Well,
with all of this, do you pass on?
I wouldn't. Listen, I've seen him play this year a few times. He's got the talent. I don't know what he's going to play in the NBA, truthfully. I don't know if he's going to be a point guard or he's a two. I don't think he's a small forward. I think he's too small for that. I just don't – the problem is, my question is – Who has a top pick is the whole thing. If the Celtics get it, I don't know if they take him. I don't know if they need another point guard, you know. But this talent doesn't come along too often. The kid's going to be a star. I don't know if he's going to be Steph Curry, but I think that his father is overhyped, you know, a lot of what he's done. But he's done, he's averaging 17.6 points. The kid averages almost triple-double. He's pretty damn good, man. But I don't know where he's going to fall in the draft. You're going to have to go through all the workouts, all the camps, to see how he is then. If he leads UCLA to the title, then I think for sure he'll be number one pick. So.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys. Can you hear me?
It's all right.
All right, internet connection. A little windy out here. I don't know. All right, so the whole LeVar Ball thing, the guy's a joke. I mean, he's good entertainment, the father and everything. What's the question? We're talking about. I mean, the kid seems like he's more level-headed than his father, first of all.
He is.
He's an excellent ball player. He's going to be a really good passer. His shot is a little wonky.
Yes.
So I don't know.
He has a weird stroke. I told Chris if UCLA wins the whole thing, he's the number one pick in the draft. It's not even close. If they don't, he's going to have to go through all the draft camps and see how, you know, his height, reach, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and he's going to go through all the interviews. Maybe his dad's going to be there. So,
well, that's
you never
the thing.
Know.
When you get the kid, you're getting the dad. And NBA teams know this. Do they want
– Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the Boston Celtics don't want that garbage. All right, of his dad.
Where's he going to play in the Celtics? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
good question.
I don't know. They don't even need him.
You put Isaiah into the two spot. You put Isaiah in the two if he's a real –
Yeah, no.
Because he's not a real point guard. He's not a great distributor, but But you don't want LeVar Ball. You just don't want that hassle unless you're a team that needs publicity, you know,
right.
Because maybe the father brings a hell of a lot to the table and you get a lot of churn, a lot of publicity and stuff like that. But I think he's doing a disservice to his son in a lot of ways. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I got to think it through a little bit. I mean, he's the guy out in the media. He's in a way distracting any publicity away from his son, but that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, I think, he's in some ways he's hurting his son's draft potential, I think, because there are teams who are going to shy away from drafting. What's the kid's name?
Lonzo.
Lonzo. Drafting Lonzo because they don't want the father to come along with him. So, Dad, shut up. Let the kid. The kid's play speaks for itself. You know,
right.
he's gonna be a high draft pick if you just shut the hell up. You know, he's a clown. He's an absolute clown. I mean,
I think it's all fun and games,
but it hurts his kid's draft.
Right. Here's the thing is. If Lonzo goes to a team that doesn't have a high media market, you ain't going to hear from LeVar anymore. He's done because if he goes to somewhere like Milwaukee or Detroit, you ain't going to hear about this guy anymore. The big media packet. Right.
And you
if he went to Boston, I think the Boston media would wipe this guy out in about 2 weeks. You won't even hear from him again.
Well, I'll tell you what. I see this guy doing kind of what Archie Manning did with his kid Eli. And what John Elway did back in the day. And if they get drafted by a particular team, he's going to try to engineer it so his kid goes to the Lakers, goes to the Heat, goes to the Bulls, some big team where dad can get all the publicity that dad needs, okay? So it won't be about his kid. It won't be about the best spot for his kid. It'll be about the best spot for dad to get all the recognition in the world. I think this guy's a jerk. So if that actually comes to fruition, if he gets drafted by, I don't know, who the worst, I mean, I know the Nets, the Lakers, what are the other teams that are, the Bucks? I mean, if he goes to a bad team in a small market, if he gets picked by a bad team in a small market, I anticipate seeing LeVar Ball try to engineer him to a different team. So,
well,
I don't know.
I don't know if that's going to happen, because once you sign that rookie deal, you can't exactly get traded. Nobody's going to take you if you do that. But listen, this guy, I think what I said, Joe, is I think this, what I said to Chris is, and this guy is trying to live vicariously through his kids.
Oh, totally.
Which I know it's bad. Well, like, part of me feels like I'm glad he's doing this to get the exposure for his kid, because it makes his kid look better. But then part of it's like, he looks like an idiot. And then it falls onto his son, and the enormous pressure his kid's under, he could fold up like a blanket, and you don't know what the hell's going to happen to him after that. I think the kid, truthfully, is tougher than that, because he's been dealing with it all year, and he's looked pretty good in the tournament. But I hate distractions like that. It's ridiculous. Let the goddamn kid play. Show what kind of talent he is. Let him go to the combines and the camps.
Joe, you are a general manager or an owner of an NBA team, okay?
Thank God.
Congratulations, Joe. That's unbelievable, man.
Knowing that Lonzo comes as a package now, okay, do you pass on Lonzo Ball?
Yep. I do, and that's why I'm saying he's doing a disservice to his kid. I really do. Listen, if I need a point guard really bad, no, I don't. But if I'm like the Celtics and I don't need a point guard, I have one.
Markel Fultz is a point guard who's better than Lonzo Ball.
There you go. That's the guy I'm taking if I need a point guard, frankly. But if I'm a team, if he's off the board, he's probably going to go first, right, Fultz? But you know, if he's off the board and you're picking, you know, in the 5 to 10 range and you really need a point guard, I wish I could speak more informatively about which teams will be picking and which teams need a point guard. I can't. I'm not as well informed in the NBA as I could be, but you don't take that. You pass on him. If you don't really need him, you pass on him, because it brings a whole. It's not just a player. You get a player and a dad, and the dad will not hesitate to go on ESPN or the local radio shows and bitch about the kid's playing time, bitch about how the kid's being used. If you're a GM, you don't want that. It's a nightmare. You want a kid to come in here, be a humble rookie, do what the coach says, play the system. Be a good teammate. You don't want you to have your dad out there mixing it all up and throwing things up for your kid.
Joe,
no.
I have to disagree with you on this, because I don't think the general managers take into effect the dad. These guys are going by the talent, because I've never seen any distractions like this that have bothered kids in the NBA. This guy is elite level talent. Like, you know, he could go teams like Orlando needs a point guard, the Lakers obviously. You know, Minnesota needs a point guard. And if he falls down in there, I'm telling you right now, if he goes to the Lakers, you know what's going to happen there. That's the media capital. You know, they'll take him in a second. But if he goes somewhere like Minnesota, he's going to fall into obscurity over there, and you're never going to hear from this guy again. I'm telling you. General managers, I don't care about the parents. They care about the players. Okay, if this guy is still around in the fifth pick in the draft, you cannot not take this guy. If you are a point guard, if you need a point guard, you take this guy. I'm sorry.
So you think take the talent, worry about the dad thing later, try to handle that some way.
You can wipe the dad out, okay, and that sounds horrible, but you can get ways where you can get rid of this guy really fast. Like, you can put clauses in the kid's contract where the dad can't appear.
I think you can put a head out on him.
Oh no, good Lord. Well, maybe. You know, I'm telling you, if he goes somewhere like Philadelphia, Orlando, dude, you're not going to hear from this guy. Okay, it's the media market thing. If he goes to the Lakers, okay, maybe he'll mouth off, but eventually it's going to go away. The more you win, the less you're going to hear about this guy. If they start losing even worse, then he's going to start barking and stuff like that. So the winning is the most important part here. If they start winning, this guy's voice will start to, you know, it'll start to shrink, and you won't hear it anymore. So
you think so? What if they start winning and LeVar Ball wants part of that fun?
Well, he ain't getting shit. I tell you, the part here too is Lonzo Ball will step in here. This kid's pretty bright. He'll get it. I'm telling you.
Oh, I hope so. I'd hate to see a kid with a lot of talent like this young kid get sidetracked.
You know why? I'll give you a prime example. Do you remember Todd Marinovich who played for the Raiders?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Remember his dad turned this guy into a goddamn robot. He couldn't eat McDonald's.
What happened to him?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to admit that Lonzo Ball is a better player than this guy ever was. But this guy turned into a fragile, delicate little egg, and he broke and broke. He was like Humpty Dumpty, man. And his dad messed him up so bad.
And then he got into
I don't
drugs,
think this guy is as bad.
All that stuff. Yep.
Yeah. I don't think this guy is as bad, but I hate to see that happen to kids.
Yeah, well, the parent thing, it's similar. LeVar Ball and the Marinovich dad. I read a really in-depth story about the Marinovich thing, and yeah, Jeremy, he trained his kid from the moment he was in diapers, you know, to throw a football, and he was like Robo.
Never let him eat McDonald's. I mean, he never had any friends because he's always weightlifting.
And you know what the kid did as soon as he found some freedom? He started to act out, just like every kid who gets suppressed and oppressed and not allowed to – just live and be a teenager. They come from these bubble environments. Once they get exposed to the real world, man, they gobble it up. Marinovich, when he went to college, where'd he go? UCLA, right? Was it USC?
Marinovich went to USC.
USC. When he went to USC, boy, he partied his face off. I saw pictures and I saw a report. I mean, that was a product of what his father did to him. His father made him live an austere life focused only around, like you said, Jeremy, eating the right foods, exercising the
right
way, doing drills after school, you know, where other kids were out having fun, going to movies and, you know, experimenting with life and all
doing
of that
stuff
is.
Stuff the kids do, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and this kid Marinovich didn't get any of that until he was out from under his father's wing, and he overindulged, and he blew up in college. But he did get drafted. He got drafted high.
I think
he
was the third pick in the draft, I think.
Yeah,
he
played for the Raiders, I think, and he had a couple of good games, but he couldn't. He had a good half season, if I even recall, but he couldn't.
Yeah,
he
was okay.
And,
he fell apart when the pressure was on him, though.
I got a question for you.
Well?
You can continue, but here's my question. My question for you guys is,
here we go.
In baseball, if all of these recruits, well, I don't want to say recruits, but all these, I guess, guys coming up in the system are, you know, of Latino descent, and everyone's like, oh, you know, because I was joking around with this guy the other day at the bar, and he called them the Santo Domingo Yankees because, you know, basically the whole team is freaking, because, like, basically the whole team is from down there, okay? The whole farm team, anyway. He was joking around about it, but maybe, just maybe, the United States actually isn't that bad in baseball.
History was made Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium when the United States defeated Puerto Rico 8-0, winning their first ever World Baseball Classic Championship. As the highest scoring team in the tournament, Puerto Rico had 55 runs in 7 games, a .326 team batting average, and a .537 slugging percentage. This would be their second straight championship game, and so far, they remained undefeated. Team USA had a serious challenge ahead of them, but that didn't stop 25-year-old starting pitcher Marcus Stroman from Medford, New York. Stroman finished with 6 scoreless innings, 1 hit allowed, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts, leading the USA to their 8-0 victory over previously undefeated Puerto Rico. Silencing Puerto Rico's famously wild crowd, Stroman was named Most Valuable Player of the World Baseball Classic, a well-deserved victory. Appearing on MLB Network PR, USA manager Jim Leyland spoke out about the win.
I got a chance to manage for our country. Coaches got a chance to coach for our country. The players got a chance to play for our country. But you know what? This is for the people that serve our country.
Here with the latest updates in sports news, I'm Lauren McKenna.
So the United States has been winning. They won this whole thing.
Well, they won the whole thing.
So
yeah.
What does that tell you?
Well,
nothing.
Well,
not
okay,
a goddamn
yeah,
thing.
Jeremy, really? Did any of you guys get into it towards the end?
No.
The WBC? No?
No.
I did.
Look, first of all, Joe, I watched it and I was like, all right, but it's the Olympics, man. That's all it is. Dude, nobody cares about this thing here. Otherwise, it would be huge.
Well, here's the thing, Jeremy. I have an opposite take. I personally got into it. A friend of mine kept bugging me. He was really into it from the get-go. He kept bugging me to watch this, check that out. So I finally started to watch a couple games, and I was engaged. I was very engaged, and I'll tell you why. One, because you get to see high-level baseball in mid-March, early to mid-March, which is a treat, okay? Two, USA was winning. USA, and that's the bigger point, I think, which is going to bode well for the WBC going forward. USA won the thing for the first time. America loves a winner. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now that America has won it, we have a title to defend. I do think that it's going to get better ratings next time around. There's going to be more hype around it because America's the defending champ. I think that's also going to bring in other players. Now, there's a whole other issue of is it a detriment to the player for the rest of the season in the MLB? That's another question. But I do think that it was good for the WBC that America won, and it's also going to attract more high-quality players. But what I really liked about it as a baseball fan myself was watching high-quality baseball. That's not in your usual MLB format. That was on different teams. You got to see some young talent from other countries that you're not usually exposed to. The young mm-hmm. pitcher there for Puerto Rico, Barrios.
Yeah, he's
a
twin.
Yeah, he had filthy stuff.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was his name? If his name was Barrios,
yeah,
that would be an awesome name.
Yeah. He got hit kind of hard, but he had nasty stuff. I guess he's in the Minnesota Twins system. So getting to see those young kids, I liked it a lot. I liked all those elements to it. So I think this bodes really well for the future, particularly America winning.
Well, I got to tell you.
Not into it, huh, Jer?
Well, look, I'm sorry. I love baseball, but I can't get into baseball in March. I'm sorry. March is college basketball month for me. I think it's for everybody.
Right. See, not for me. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I know. I think it depends. It probably depends on who you are. Look, I'm happy the United States won, but, you know, a lot of these games, you know, they're playing at, like, the problem is with these time zone shit. You're playing games in Korea at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and the kids can't be up for that, you know, stuff like that. And you're watching – I was actually more impressed with the Israeli team did actually pretty well.
Yes,
they got a collection of people you never heard of. I think that they did this only because
they were kind
of
cheap, though. I don't know.
No, listen, they did this thing. They only did this because they kicked baseball out of the Olympics. That's all. The only reason why they did this.
Well,
stop it.
That's terrible. That's a good point, Jer. Good point, but. So
I just, but you think that because they won this now, you're going to see Mike Trout and Bryce Harper now and go play for the U.S.?
No.
Because
I
don't think they will.
No, I don't think you're going to see the biggest of the superstars play.
But isn't that the point of having this, though? Is like, we have all-star games. Isn't this pretty much an all-star game? It's just a tournament?
Well, Jeremy, yes, but look, I love my country, but. I'm sick of us winning everything. Like,
I know.
Baseball.
I agree with him on this baseball thing. Like,
dude,
Baseball.
Baseball
doesn't need an every 4-year tournament, man. They don't need it.
And I mean, Puerto Rico, and a lot of these countries.
Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico,
a lot of those countries down there, they live on baseball. It means everything to them. Cuba. Okay, it means everything to them.
Right.
Do we have to stick our nose in it and beat them down in that too? I mean, it's already
yes,
bad enough.
We
have to do that.
It's our sport.
This is their
sport. Just like
sport.
Canada with hockey, we are with baseball.
Right. Joe, I just
Canada with
my
hockey,
thing is like I did. Listen, I'm glad the United States.
A Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup since '93.
I know, really.
David
the Oilers are good.
We win that
the
too.
Oilers are good. The Oilers are good.
Well, the question here, Chris. You're asking the question is what the future of this is. And I don't know what it's going to change. I don't know how you can change it. Like, what's going to be different now? Because United States won, we think that the ratings going to go up. They're going to sell jerseys. I don't
buy
it.
The ratings will go up. I think so, and I think you'll see more stars, not the top level stars, no, but more.
But isn't that the point of having this thing? Isn't that the point of having this, having Trout and Harper and players like that on this team?
Well, the point of it is to make money.
No, I got that part. You know.
The subsidiary points are also.
Well, I think
to,
the U.S. will do what they always do. I think it'll be capitalism. I mean, honestly, I think that they'll look at this and they'll go, "Oh, okay, we won. Well, what do the American people want? Well, they want to see us win."
I think the other thing too here.
Oh, they want,
I'm telling you, you're right, Chris.
Eventually,
but the thing comes up too always in this thing. The only thing comes up is if there's one major injury comes up to somebody that's a star. When this happens. It always happens in something like this, and then it kills these things.
Chris, you were saying eventually, but it tailed off. Eventually, what? Well,
eventually, they're gonna find a way to exploit this and make money off of it because that's what we do.
Right.
Of course, that's what they're gonna do.
Good old fashioned American capitalism.
Right.
And what we're gonna do is we're gonna come down there and we're gonna market the ever-living hell out of this. We won it last year.
Right.
I guarantee you we won it. I mean, not last year, but this past thing, okay? So now, next time it comes around, you're going to start seeing commercials. You're going to start hearing radio ads for it. You're going to start seeing jerseys being made for it.
Oh,
say,
I agree with that.
United States,
it'll be a bigger deal
the
next time.
World Baseball Classic against blah, blah, blah. You know,
what happens if they lose?
It.
Like, that's the thing. If they,
if
lose,
they lose,
like, the second round, then nobody cares.
Well, that's the thing,
true,
though. We've already won. So
right.
Now
I think it's going
to
lose its
luster. Where...
No, we got to keep winning.
No, I don't. I don't. I think that if we lose, now we'll be like, oh, man. Okay, well, we won before. We lost. It's almost like your team. It's almost like the Red Sox winning the World Series and then losing the ALDS the next year. It's the same
right.
thing. Okay.
Oh,
so it's like,
I agree.
Oh,
but the difference is that,
and,
Chris,
see what they do next year now.
The difference of that is this thing doesn't happen every year. Okay, this is every 4 years is the problem with this thing. You're going to see players come and go. You're going to see guys come out of retirement that haven't played.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. Yeah. There's never going to be a set roster that won't train together because you got to have guys retire.
That.
You know, some guys come out
next
year.
You got catchers coming out of retirement to play in this thing for like Canada.
Lonzo,
I mean, you see old guys like that. You guys are
yeah,
you guys
yeah
are
Jeremy
sick.
Lonzo Ball is going to play because he's better than Jordan.
I love it.
I do think that this is going to be a bigger deal 4 years from now, and it's going to attract more players. It's going to be a much bigger deal. Better ratings. We're going to defend our title. It's going to be something. I think
the
WBC has a bright
future. And we're going to market the shit out of it, and that's because that's what we do.
We
want to
make money off of
it. We want to sell jerseys.
Yeah.
We want to put asses in seats. Now, one
other
thing
I'll
admit to you.
Players are
going to
want to be part of it. I'm telling you.
Sure. Well, I'm with Jeremy now, though. I can't focus
You're
on baseball.
You're damn right you
even,
are.
I can't even focus on baseball in April. Okay, so
listen, you know what this
is,
Chris? You know what this thing is to me? It reminds me. It's like the Pro Bowl, dude. It's like the Pro Bowl. I really think so.
Yeah, it kind of is. It really kind
of
is.
You get a bunch of players involved.
Although I
kind of
wish the
Pro
Bowl was once every 4 years, but
I do too.
Yeah.
That may be more fun. I watch the Pro Bowl every 4 years.
Oh yeah, me too. Hell yeah. Now,
so,
hold on,
Chris. I'm sorry to interrupt, Chris.
At least
I'm sorry to interrupt. Joe, I get your point. I understand, but I just feel like this thing. As soon as they lose, if they lose in 4 years, they're gonna pull the reins back. You're gonna see this thing fall apart, and I just don't think this thing is gonna succeed.
I don't think so.
Really?
I really don't. I really don't. I think it'll be one of those things where, I mean, think about it. The United States doesn't. I mean, yes, we always dominate the medal count, but we don't win every.
Yeah.
Every Olympic,
no.
We don't win every Olympic thing. And
summer, maybe,
like,
not winter.
What,
forget the winter.
Yeah, but what? Well, yeah, but it's like, what would happen if the United States didn't medal? If we didn't even come in first, second, or third, or let's say we got bronze, or let's say we were third in medal count,
we would double down.
Stop watching the Olympics.
We'll get the medal next time.
Exactly. Same thing with this. If we lose, we're gonna be like,
Well, hell, we're baseball. We're the home of the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Angels, and
yeah,
we should lose to these third
Chris,
world countries.
Then nobody,
that's
the American system. Listen,
the
they lost
this
thing
play
4 years ago, and nobody said a goddamn word. Nobody cared because they won. Now
won
we're going to start. Yeah,
I think if we lose it next time, we're going to see MLB players double down. Everyone's going to join in and go back and win it again. That's where you're going to see the Trouts and the Harpers and the Betts. All the superstars are going to get on board.
I don't buy
I'm
it.
Telling you,
I don't buy it.
I'm
we'll
telling
see,
you, the
we'll
best
we'll
thing
see.
That could happen, the best thing that could happen to the World Baseball Classic is for the U.S. to lose next time. It's the best thing that could happen to it. Trust me.
Oh, no, I agree with you. But that's a double-edged sword, Chris. Though if they lose this thing, I'm telling you, this has a two-pronged effect. You lose asses in the seats. Nobody's gonna care. Then you gotta wait another four years after that to watch them play to get them back in there. People are gonna lose interest, man. Who cares after that?
Well, Jeremy, I think time will tell. We'll have to see what happens. We are at odds. I appreciated WBC. I love that America won.
I like the concept of it, but I just don't think it has the luster that maybe it should have, but maybe it will. I'd be happy for it, but I'm telling you, once somebody, like say, you know, Price goes over there or Chris Sale blows his elbow out, you're going to hear the same bullshit over. Why was he over there? Why was he playing in this stuff for his country? You know,
well,
stuff
that'll
like that.
Be a problem if there's injuries and stuff.
Right.
That
I think
that
that's the main problem.
Issue. That would be a big issue.
Like if, say, Xander Bogaerts busted his leg playing for the Bahamas,
yeah,
whatever the hell he plays for, then, you know, you're going to hear about it. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened more yet, thank God. So.
Well, yeah, a big injury to a star player that keeps him out of a full season would definitely hurt the WBC. But that hasn't happened. Right now, America won the thing. We're riding high. And we're going to go into the next one, defending champs, and it's going to be exciting.
I can't wait to watch him play nobody.
USA. 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 So,
Puerto Rico.
My thing, guys. Yeah, PR. My thing, though, is that, listen, this sport means so much to those countries. You saw the parade that Puerto Rico had when they made the final. I mean, you saw... You have watched documentaries and things before. You've seen what the people, the living conditions are, and what the people go through in these countries. Baseball is their vice; it's their way out.
Right.
Okay.
That's all they have.
Baseball's like the fourth or fifth most popular sport in America. Okay. So we don't.
Fourth or fifth.
Oh, come on! Football, basketball. I would even say hockey right now.
Oh,
or
like
baseball.
Hell. Dude, baseball's
yeah,
more popular
I would say it would
than basketball.
Be.
Bullshit.
Then the NBA? Okay, you're going to sit there and tell me that the MLB has better ratings than
fine,
the NBA.
Fine, yeah, I thought about it. Fine. Baseball doesn't have any stars. Fine.
Yeah, okay. Baseball is probably the fourth, possibly even the fifth. I would even go as
third.
Far as to say in some states. No, fourth. Because you got baseball, you got football, basketball, hockey. And then I would say... maybe in certain places, certain parts of the country where they don't necessarily have baseball, I would even say soccer would be above it.
I'm going to be sick.
I hope you're not right, Chris, and I don't think you are.
I hope not
but
either,
because
this makes me want to puke, man.
I wish that wasn't the case. I wish baseball was still a rock solid number three, but it's not.
So you love baseball?
I love baseball, man. I grew up on this shit, man.
Oh,
Red
man,
Sox.
I played – I coached for 16 years, for Christ's sake. I love baseball. I could –
Joe was there
with
Mickey Mantle. Joe
sleep.
Was there when Mickey Mantle pointed to the fence and called out the shot.
Mickey Mantle, shit, I played with
Tom
Babe
Ruth, you
bro.
Idiot. Man,
yeah,
you're
that was
old.
Mickey Ruth, too. Mickey Mantle pointing to the fence. That shows how young you are.
Yeah, he doesn't know nothing.
That was even the wrong
Joe's
player.
Like,
damn
yeah,
whippersnappers.
Joe's like – Joe's like, I had a drink with Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. Wow.
You're damn
what
right.
What was that like?
You know, back when that was, you know, taboo. You know what I'm saying? But
I know.
Yeah, but yeah,
I can't
that
believe
was,
that existed.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't
now,
that terrible?
One other thing, and I'm sort of leading you guys into.
That's
I'm
scary.
Sort of leading you. You guys into a topic, because what we're doing for the new topic of the show is we talk sports for the first three or four topics. Then we talk a non a non-sports topic just,
okay.
just to end
all
off
right.
the show.
Is
and,
this about your imaginary girlfriend that doesn't exist?
Whoa.
No, but you want to know what's really
okay.
funny?
Your face.
You want to know what's really funny? Manti Te'o is going to the New Orleans Saints.
I saw it.
Do you
want to
know what one of the
top,
do you want to know what one of the top dishes is in New Orleans?
Catfish. Imaginary
catfish.
Oh, that's
catfish.
Terrible. That's
well
terrible.
Done.
It's one of the top dishes in New Orleans. How
is
funny
awesome.
Is that?
That I tell you, I gotta tell you, that was one of the dumbest things I have ever seen. Like I can't
what
believe
that
happened.
What was that
like,
all
he's got
about,
some
man?
Problems,
he had a
dude.
Fake girlfriend, right?
Yes.
That he thought was his girlfriend, but he was being
and it was a dude.
Huh?
It was a dude.
And
it was
a dude. It was
a dude.
Right?
It was a
and
dude.
Can
you
he
not
be
know,
for like
man.
Okay, but Jeremy, this wasn't a 1 or 2
right.
week. Hey,
no.
you're hot.
He
I want to have sex with you. He was with
her
for like 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's
yes.
not gay.
What the?
But he's not gay, right?
No, he's,
is that, or is
he's not gay. He didn't
know
it was a guy.
No,
he found out it was a guy.
He
broke it off.
Are we sure he didn't know? So he was completely
yes.
suckered into the catfish thing.
Yeah, he was a tool, dude.
All right, because all right,
I
Joe,
thought at the time.
The Cliff Notes version. The Cliff Notes version of this.
To cover up his gayness. Go ahead, though.
No, I don't think he was.
No, the Cliff Notes version of this is he met some girl online. I don't know if it's a chat room or Craigslist or wherever it was, but he met her online, okay? She sent
plenty
him
of
photos.
Fish.
Yeah, she sent pictures.
Or something, whatever it was. Okay, Cupid, whatever it is. She sent
yeah.
photos that he just took her word for it and said, wow,
right.
okay, that's you.
Right.
Now, whoever did this, whoever did the catfishing was smart because all of
that
the photos
problem.
Were the same girl. Well,
yeah.
well, they were all the same girl. So it wasn't,
this sounds
there,
like,
there wasn't
this sounds like
question.
A real McSwiggin move here.
Well, hold on. There wasn't any question in there as to, well, you look different in this photo. No, he obviously stole it from somewhere, and they were all the same
yeah.
girl, and he would always send photos. But, okay, never wanted to talk on the phone. How weird is that?
Right.
Never wanted
yeah.
to talk on the
but
phone.
They
always said, oh, I'm in a bad
they,
reception
there was
area.
Things
I don't
where,
have a minute.
Where they heard,
you know?
Like, a voicemail or something. I heard one of those things on there, but the guy sounded like a chick. He
yeah,
left her
well,
a voicemail.
But I mean, yeah, but I mean, if I really, really wanted to, it's a terrible impression, but if I wanted to call Joe's voicemail and be like, hey, honey, I just got back from Christian Leitner's house. Like, I could do it, too.
Okay,
so.
I thought we were
going to
make it all the way. I thought we were going to go all the whole way.
Joe, I didn't
the
say
fact,
anything.
The fact is, but the fact is, I don't do that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, so you can,
no,
you can fake
but
it
you
until
would.
You make it if you need to. But if you have a prolonged... If you have a prolonged phone conversation, you're going to be able to
right.
tell that,
yes.
you know, maybe this person has an Adam's apple, you know? So
right.
my thing is...
Chris, the fact this thing went 3 years
this came
is
out,
puzzled
yeah,
me.
And then he comes out and finds out. He goes, hey, I'm playing in the national championship game for Notre Dame. Okay?
Yeah.
You should come to my game. And
then she magically
like,
dies or something, right?
Yeah.
Something happened, yes. Yeah, it got shipped away or something happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He was heartbroken and this and that, and it affected his play on the field. I mean, he was actually in love with this online personality. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And
well, it don't matter.
Then,
they weren't
going to
beat Alabama anyway, so.
No, and they got their you-know-what
yeah.
pushed in by Alabama.
The game was 42-0 at
one
point.
Another thing, guys. Another thing I want to ask you a question about before we get into the – Lauren has one more headline – And it's a really, really good story she did for us. So so we'll get to that in a minute. But the Alabama, speaking of Alabama, okay, I'm going to use the Yankees here because the Yankees are the pinnacle of championships in baseball. Alabama is the pinnacle of championships in football. They've won 5 of the last 7, okay? They lose this
mm-hmm.
year to Clemson on a last-minute play. Now, we've all watched the game. It was a great game.
Great
whatever,
game.
Okay? Alabama's got all these titles. Clemson's won 2 in the history of the program. Alabama's won 5 of the last 7. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
now, you know how Alabama calls their – or not Alabama, excuse me. Clemson calls their stadium or whatever Death Valley, which,
yes.
by the way, they stole from LSU because LSU was Death Valley first. But regardless
– Well, they stole that from Penn
they
State.
Have all, well, yeah, but now Penn State's Happy Valley. Ooh, you
yeah,
know, Jerry Sandusky, we're happy. Anyway,
oh,
so
stop it.
We are
stop it.
So we are. Hey, listen, they were just roughhousing, okay?
Yeah,
so
oh,
now
Jesus
we have.
Christ.
Now what they have at Clemson is what they have at Clemson is a bunch of headstones, okay? And all of their accomplishments of saying, you know, ACC champion, you know, bowl game winners, isn't, and they're all gravestones, and the teams that they beat with the scores listed in a small eulogy, just like a cemetery would have. They put front and center in their Death Valley graveyard a big black marble. It's not even the gray texture of the other headstones. Big black marble granite headstone that says Alabama, gives you the score and gives you a little blurb about the game.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Now,
if you're Alabama, okay, does this piss you off? Does this say, listen, you've won two in your history. We've won five of the last seven, and we have what, like 12 or 13 national championships total? Like, you know,
It would bother them for a little bit, but I think they'd be over
it. It would be billboard material. If Clemson played Alabama this year, it would be billboard material. But do you think Clemson went too far with this?
No, I would.
Or do you
Who
think
cares?
I
love this kind of stuff,
I think it's one of those things where – I mean, I love it too in a way, but there's also a respect factor there. I mean, I understand the Red Sox took down the mighty Yankees. They were one out away from getting swept. They ended up winning four straight and going to the World Series. But
damn right,
you didn't see Boston fans, you know.
Chris,
doing
just because
this kind
they're
of thing,
hold on, that's a big difference
for the Yankees. And
those are professional athletes. These are college kids, dude. Colleges are
okay,
way different. You can't compare the two of them.
It was the college's idea. It wasn't the players.
Well, then the college is an
idiot. This was
Dabo
Sweeney. This was Dabo Sweeney and the administration that
too.
Did it. This wasn't the players.
Dabo Sweeney went along with this. Is he one of the most like highly Christian guys in the world? Where he doesn't
break wind on Sundays. Dabo Sweeney is the one who unveiled it. They had a big like towel sheet over it, and he's the one who pulled it off in front of all the players and said, "Look at this." Yeah,
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised he
That's
went along with
that.
That guy's like the most moral person ever, man. Like, he doesn't pee it, like in a cup, you know? Jeez.
Yeah, I feel like I love a little practical joke here and there. I love a little rubbing it in, trolling, as you may put it. But I'm all about the troll. I'm a huge trolling fan.
You got that right.
Within reason. But within reason, okay? I mean, this goes a bit far. Alabama is the pinnacle of success in college football. You beat them by 1 point in the final second of the game.
Yeah, but it was such an epic moment for the school, Chris, that they may never have it again. And I think it's not just sticking it to Alabama. It's just saying we beat the team that nobody thought could lose.
Okay.
I think it's
a lot. Do you think that if they beat anybody else in that championship game that they would have done that?
No, because nobody's won that many games.
Exactly.
If LSU had won 5 out of 6 or Ohio State were done, then it would have been, because it was the same thing. Yes.
So, okay, all right. Well,
I have no problem with it. I think it's great for the school. I think it motivates recruits. I think it's a bigger deal than you think it is. Alabama's going to think about it for 5 minutes, and they're going to shake it off and say, to hell with it, because they're just going to come out again and get right back to the national championship.
I mean, Alabama's sending 11 guys to the draft this year. 11.
Yes.
Okay, Clemson's sending, what, maybe two?
Two.
So,
Watson and Williams,
two.
I think it is. Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, so yeah, two definitely, yeah. So, but, and maybe more, but two definites. So,
I'll be honest with you, Chris, I'm very surprised that Clemson won that game. I really am.
You know, me too. But I think Clemson was a very good team this year. This was their best team, hands down. I think Alabama had a couple of vulnerabilities on their offense, not necessarily on their defense. If you look at
this wasn't
the
best
draft,
Alabama team.
Year.
You're right. Yeah, this wasn't
No, they were still the best team in college. I still think they were better team than Clemson, but this wasn't their best team. And I think that all the vulnerabilities were on offense. Alabama really couldn't score. They could shut teams down. And if you look at who's going to the NFL this year, it's mostly defensive players.
Right.
But I just feel like if they scored in that last minute on that Jalen Hurts, the freshman, on that beautiful you know, Josh he put together. And then
he's
going to
be a star, by the way.
Solid all year. Just fell apart, which was unusual for them. But, you know, I remember back a couple of years ago when Alabama first had a black quarterback, and it was the first time ever in the history, and they were like, oh, my God, a black quarterback at Alabama, what are we going to do? And I just – this program is so entrenched in, you know, that old history, that old Bear Bryant history. I mean, think about it. They're so old in their history, they still have numbers on their helmets. Okay, I mean, it's one of those things where they're not – they're on the field, they're all about old-school tradition. Clemson is that new
they're,
age.
They're about winning. That's the whole point.
Yeah. They're all like
this. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Chris.
Well, if you're Dabo Sweeney, are you taking your Clemson football recruits this year through that graveyard, showing them the Alabama
Absolutely.
Stone and all that?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, listen, motivation is a huge key for kids nowadays. You know, the kids nowadays have attention spans of a gnat like Joe does. And you need every once in a while. Yeah, I went there. You'll get over
it.
Yeah, there you go. You know, and these kids, they see stuff like this. It motivates them to want to win that game, want to be better player. Why the hell wouldn't you take them through there? I love it. I think it's a great move.
Me too. I'm all for it. I like it.
I love it.
Now, Jeremy, you live near the city of Hartford.
Yes,
we all know
unfortunately,
about the
yes. Oh, please.
We all know
I went through it yesterday.
For such a small city. Now, when I went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting, I was staying down in Southbury, and I was going up to Farmington.
Good luck with
now,
that.
Luckily, I didn't have to deal with Hartford because Farmington was still a little south, so I didn't have to deal with that.
You're
but
lucky.
Every time I went home for a weekend or whatever, I would have to cut through Hartford, hit 91, go to Springfield, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So my thing is I've sat in the Hartford rush hour traffic before. You deal with it almost every day.
Yeah.
In Hartford – Does it have a thing called Uber in Hartford yet? Has it gotten there?
We have Uber here.
Okay, Joe, did you have Uber in Framingham?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a story, Lauren.
Five taxi companies sued Palm Beach County for revenue losses, claiming that not requiring background checks on Uber drivers gives Uber an unfair advantage. But Uber driver Amy Gugick says Uber's success can be attributed to much more than limited background checks.
Maybe the bar is being set higher now by Uber. And, you know, like I get these compliments. The car was so clean. You were so nice. Call me and let's go out. Like I get all these little, you know.
Attorney Doug Eden, who represented the taxi companies in the lawsuit, says that while the taxi companies may have lost the court battle, they still won the war.
We got kind of half a loaf. You know, we got the law to be applied equally, which was, you know, the starting goal. And we didn't get to a damage part of the case. So while there is disappointment that we didn't get to do that, there is at least some good did come out of the case.
Palm Beach County has since passed a bill to level the playing field, allowing both taxi companies and ride-hailing services such as Uber to conduct their own background checks. For South Florida Journal, I'm Lauren McKenna.
So,
what? I don't understand that.
I'm going to explain it to you. I do this a lot in New York. I deal with this a lot in New York where the yellow cab drivers are really kind of pissed at the Uber because people are obviously preferring Uber. So
right.
Is it cheaper?
Is that why?
No, well, not necessarily. No, it's not cheaper. But, you know, especially in New York City, you get these old rickety taxis that have, you know, 1,000 people a day in them. They're not really taken care of. It's some driver that barely speaks English if he does it all. And
you got that
it's
right.
It's kind of like they don't really even talk to you. You know, you give them the address and they just kind of sit there and do their thing.
Yep.
Uber is an app. It tells you exactly how far away they are, exactly what kind of car it is, and it's somebody's own personal car. I mean, you can request certain cars. You can request a Lexus. You can request a Mercedes. You can request whatever, and somebody who's an Uber driver driving that car can come get you, and you can ride around thinking you're a celebrity, riding around in a Mercedes or a Beamer or whatever it is. And it's one of those things where it's capitalism. It's a way to make money. As long as you have a clean driver's license. I mean, hell, Jeremy, you or I could become Uber drivers if we wanted to.
Yeah. No
and
thanks.
You just drive people around. They pay you. and it's a good way to make money. But the taxi drivers are pissed because people are starting to, taxis have been sort of a conglomerate. They've been they've dominated the transportation market in big cities forever. Now
yeah.
Uber is starting to kind of step on their toes a little bit, encroach on their territory,
mm-hmm.
and the cab drivers aren't liking it. And so the cab drivers, at least in Palm Beach County where Lauren was, as you heard in the interview, they went to court over it. And the court basically said, listen, they're not doing anything wrong. And,
I know.
What
do they expect is going to happen here?
They basically want Uber limited. Basically.
Isn't it kind of like Pepsi and Coke? You know, it's like the same thing, right?
No, not breaking any laws. The taxi company is still so much bigger than Uber is in terms of number of cars.
No, I get that. Yeah.
So it's not quite like that. It's more. I would say it's more like Coke versus like Barks Root Beer right now. Okay,
all right.
Where Uber's a niche, but
mm-hmm.
it's what people prefer. Like, for instance, if you give me options to drink and you say, okay, you can have Coke or Dr. Pepper, I'm taking the Dr. Pepper.
You're damn right.
It's that
good call, by the way.
So,
good call.
Yeah,
man.
I love Dr. Pepper. I like Mr. Pibb better. But
it's not the same.
It's good.
Dr. Pepper rules.
But anyway, so Joe, do they have Uber in Framingham?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear the headline story that Lauren did? Or did you?
I didn't hear all of it.
Did you step out of the
scene? Sorry. Yeah,
okay,
I didn't.
You can play it again, Chris. Go ahead, because I didn't hear the whole thing.
You didn't hear the whole thing?
No.
Oh, Lauren, you're getting a little bit of extra
farting.
Popularity here. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
I told her she has to come on the air and like poke Emerson and make him make some noise for
us
at some point.
I won my
five taxi companies sued Palm Beach County for revenue losses, claiming that not requiring background checks on Uber drivers gives Uber an unfair advantage. But Uber driver Amy Gugick says Uber's success can be attributed to much more than limited background checks.
Maybe the bar is being set higher now by Uber. And, I get these compliments. The car was so clean. You were so nice. Call me and let's go out. Like, I get all these little,
Attorney Doug Eden, who represented the taxi companies in the lawsuit, says that while the taxi companies may have lost the court battle, they still won the war.
We got kind of half a loaf. We got the law to be applied equally, which was, the starting goal. We didn't get to a damage part of the case. So while there is disappointment that we didn't get to do that, there is at least some good did come out of the case.
Palm Beach County has since passed a bill to level the playing field, allowing both taxi companies and ride-hailing services such as Uber to conduct their own background checks. For South Florida Journal, I'm Lauren McKenna.
So basically, here's the thing. It's background checks. They want background checks for Uber drivers. Because remember that whole thing in Michigan? That whole thing in Michigan where the Uber driver went on a rampage and killed I think, four or five people? It's one of those things where anybody, Jeremy or I, could be an Uber driver. Joe could be an Uber driver if he wanted to be.
Yep.
And,
I have a friend who is.
They want background checks for these people because
I don't understand why they wouldn't
car.
Want it. Yeah.
Well, you don't need it to be.
I mean, you can
driver.
Look it up, right? Like, you can look up who's driving for you. You can check that stuff, right?
And
this
the,
Uber
yeah,
thing?
Well, here's the thing, guys. It's a
yeah,
free
but if you're
it's
a yellow cab
market.
Driver, you don't necessarily need it.
And, no, I know.
Uber,
I got that.
I mean, I think I would go as far as to say that in New York City, I'd say it's 60-40 in terms of cab drivers, yellow cab drivers, not even being citizens, much less having
background
checks.
I agree.
So, it's just Uber doesn't have to do background checks, man. They're a privately held company. When do we ever say anything to – when do we make any company do back checks? When has that ever been when does the government tell a company to do background checks? I mean, come on.
I think it happens more than we think, Joe. Like, every time I go for a job, they always do a background check.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying background – that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying – why would be the government? Why the government doesn't force companies to do background checks?
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, I
feel a little safer if I knew who was driving my Uber.
Well,
like,
okay,
I don't want to.
Well, Well, then that's a supply and demand thing. If Uber hears from their riders that they'd like the drivers to have to do background checks because maybe what happened in Michigan, et cetera, then that's Uber's decision based upon what their customers are asking them to do.
Right. They can't be forced.
Not because some legislature told them to do it. We don't tell Coca-Cola to do background checks. We don't tell anybody. The government doesn't tell anybody to do background checks. All this is cab companies, again,
losing money. Again,
they're losing money because they can't compete. You know what? Cab companies for, I don't know, how many decades you listed off, 80 years, 100, who knows? They've had a monopoly on rides, on giving rides to people. And now that a company's coming in, Uber, Lyft, these companies are coming in and they're doing it better. They're doing it with technology and they're doing it with a better labor model and they're able to do it cheaper. The cab companies
Absolutely right.
It's a classic competition thing. So what do the cab companies do? They go to their local governments, their legislator, and try to help them out. It's bullshit. It's not the American way. It's garbage.
I'll tell you something, guys. Here's a prime example. This is Canada. Okay, I went to Canada for my friend's bachelor party, and we had to take taxis. Sure. And I'm telling you, it's a great time. Don't get me started. but we had to ride a taxi. And every time they get in there, the taxi, I'm telling you, it's disgusting. I'll be honest with you, a lot of them smell like piss. I don't know why would they smell like piss, And you get somebody that doesn't speak English. Well, what the hell's the point of riding it?
Yeah, I've not ridden in an Uber car. I've not. But from what I understand, it's a much more engaging situation. They'll talk to you because they want to earn a good rating. Cab drivers do not give a flying poop about you, okay? I've ridden in probably a dozen cabs in my life. I haven't done a lot of it. Half of them, the guy just he does not care who you are, what you want, or anything like that. He doesn't talk to you. Doesn't care what the car looks like. Doesn't care how fast you get there. I've been jived on a couple of cab rides when I was younger too. Like it's a shitty industry that was ripe for a shakeup. And Uber and Lyft are shaking it up, and they're doing it the right way with better convenience, better quality service.
Well, apparently, Joe.
Yep.
Speaking with Lauren, she said that Uber is made of independent contractors and they get quote unquote easy money. Apparently taxi drivers are held I didn't know this. Apparently taxi drivers are held to super high standards in testing and background checks and stuff. Palm Beach County down where she
lives. Don't they have to
do it now.
They have to pass tests and stuff, right? Know where all the zones are and countries and stuff like that, right?
Well, these are layers of bureaucracy that have been layered onto the cab industry over years and years and years, okay? So I didn't know that. But if they're asking that Uber and Lyft join the same level of scrutiny and bureaucracy as the cab companies, if that's what they're asking, then I'm okay with that. I mean, that levels the competitive playing field, but I don't like government intervention in business in any way, shape, or form. I did not know that cab companies were so heavily regulated. I guess I should have because you got to get a Hackney license. So
there is a bit of regulation with that.
As you heard in the South Florida Journal story, our little news anchor here, Lauren, actually has some information on this story because obviously, as you heard, she went out and she did the interviews and all that. So, Lauren, can you clear this up for us a little bit as to what exactly is the beef with Uber and why these taxi companies are freaking out the way that I know why they're doing it in New York, but down where you're at, why are they freaking out about Uber down in Palm Beach County?
Hi, Chris. So in Palm Beach, we actually have a huge Uber following here as well. And obviously, we don't utilize taxis as much as you guys do, especially down in the city. But taxi drivers are still held to super, super high regulations, in addition to having to go through a federal background check, which is much more high standards that they have to adhere to compared to some of the other, subpar background checks some companies do. Taxi drivers have to go through that federal background check. So they have a lot of really high standards that they have to meet in order to be able to do their job. And for them, it's their livelihood. Whereas, a lot of Uber drivers are doing it kind of like as a part-time gig. Taxi drivers really rely on that for primary background to support their families. And they're really upset that this new kind of company can get away with just hiring these freelance independent contractor drivers, and just they get to work without having to do background checks. They don't go through testing. You essentially just sign up. Like you said, you have a driver's license. You don't have a bad driving record. You're on, and you can make some money. And it's putting taxi drivers out of business and causing them to lose
drivers.
A lot of revenue.
Who
cares? Where's the monkey?
We want Emerson.
Come on, we want the monkey.
No, but
Emerson's
not here. Oh, come on.
Lauren, great job with the headlines. Fantastic job, by the way.
Very
that
nice.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
I am a libertarian. I am a free market kind of guy.
Oh,
I do not like government
go.
Intervention
Joe.
Whatsoever.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Joe.
My knee-jerk reaction is to not want anything. I think that the industry should play out the way it's playing out. If Uber and Lyft, et cetera, are robbing market share from the cab companies, well, cab companies need to innovate.
God, who the
yes.
hell cares?
Yes. I love it.
So
I'm sorry,
I think
Joe.
That's my take on
it. It's capitalism.
Let it play out.
It's capitalism.
Yeah. He's right.
Are you upset with Pepsi for infringing on Coke? I mean,
no.
It's the same thing.
I'm more goddamn upset than when you get to hear the freaking monkey. Damn it.
Listen.
I mean, they want a level playing field. They want the same opportunities. You know, if taxi drivers
so
have to
work for, go work for Uber
that,
if you're a cab driver.
Right, right.
That's true. But, you know, it's all about leveling
thing,
it out. And
can we get a monkey story at least so I can fall asleep?
But, Lauren, you got to be friendly, though. You see, when you're a cab driver, like Joe said,
English
they don't even
help.
Really
right.
– well, English, yes, English does help. But they don't even necessarily, like you said, care about you. You tell them the address, they sit there and they listen to their
no.
they listen to their jihad music and drive you around.
Oh,
now,
jihad,
my
stop
is,
that.
It is. Most 95% of the cab drivers in New York are of Arab descent. So anyway, so Arab – not Arab, excuse me, Uber are you know, it's a normal dude. It's you, me, or Joe, just a normal dude driving our own car.
Don't include me in this
seat,
Uber shit.
And you just shoot the breeze with him. I was in an Uber car in New York, and the guy's like, hey, man, what are you here for? Oh, you're doing a radio conference. Awesome, man. Hey, you know, my son does some radio stuff, messes around, and oh, you know, who's your favorite team, and who's this? And we had a discussion about the
Cowboys.
You
shoot the bull. You make a friend.
Stuff,
you
know?
Make a
queen. Did you,
yeah.
you guys go on a date?
Well, maybe.
It's,
but no.
Sounds like it.
The ride sounded like it might have been a little bit
yeah.
of a date. But yeah,
sounds
but
like
no, it was.
But Chris,
it was
you're right.
Definitely, there was definitely some sexual tension there for sure.
Not surprised. Not surprised.
No, I'm kidding. But you're right. It's a different level of engagement with these Uber
yeah.
drivers. They're more personable. Yeah. They are more regular guys like you and me. They are.
Right.
But he's right.
It's right. The guidelines for taxi drivers are harder, man. That's why Uber thing, you can just sign up for it. You can be a driver in 5 minutes. These guys have to get hack
licenses.
That's
not true.
That's
actually not true. It's not true.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't really care.
I mean, Uber does scrutinize your driving record. I know that for a fact. But
well, I know they have to like hack licenses. They got to take tests to know areas
yeah.
and zones, works and
yeah.
stuff like that.
So, Lauren, what we're going to be doing is instead of playing all the headlines in the top, we're going to be separating out the show topics that we're going to be talking about by playing your headline and leading into it that way.
And monkey.
I like the way it worked.
We're going to be doing 3 sports stories and then 1 non-sports story every show because we like to have a little diversity. Jeremy has been demanding a monkey
yes.
thing. But
what the hell's the problem?
See monkeys are like people. Like, if it doesn't want to talk, it's not going to talk. So that's
I'm not saying
to,
have
like,
to talk. I just want to hear it. Make
well,
noise.
Okay, it's not going to actually talk. But you know what I mean? It's not going to make noise.
Maybe Chris can do an imitation.
Oh, please.
I could try. But I just wanted to like poke it with a stick or something so
yes.
it like, makes a noise, you know? But she
I want,
won't
I want to see
it
throw
like,
poop
oh,
at
I love
people.
Him 2 months to poke him. Well,
does Emerson
okay,
throw
maybe
poop
can...
at people? Because I'd pay money to see that. Is that a maybe?
Does he throw poop?
No.
Liar! Liar!
No, he's a well-behaved.
I don't know. You guys keep telling me to poke him. He might be throwing some shit at you.
Oh!
Nice.
Oh!
Maybe.
Oh! She's cursing on the air. Ooh.
Nice, Lauren. Love it.
she's gonna.
She's
gonna
a well
potty mouth, so if you want me on the air, you're gonna be.
I love it.
No, no, that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
I'm still very upset that there's no monkey on today.
He's a well-behaved young
monkey. When we move to FM, we have to watch the cursing. But in the podcast, it's all fair. So, but that was today's show. We had Lauren come on, talk to us a little bit about Uber.
Great to have you, Lauren.
Wrote a story that he did.
Very nice.
And,
more monkeys.
Yeah. More monkeys. Yes. More monkeys all the time. We will be back Monday after talking a little bit about the NCAA tournament and who's going to be in the Final Four. We will find out this weekend.
Kansas is going to win.